turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. We're going to read a verse from there in a few moments. But being the Christmas season, those of us with children, we've dedicated a baby, and so when you're raising kids, this can be somewhat of a tough time of the year. It's one of those times of the years where you're trying to explain Christmas, talk to your kids about Christmas, mostly because the world has become discombobulated and confusing when you start talking about Christmas, even for church people. The world has a lot of mumbo-jumbo and a lot of stories out there that mean absolutely nothing when it comes to Christmas, and it detracts us from what Christmas is really all about. There's an old comic that showed a mom reading her Bible to a little boy. It's Christmas time, and in the book, in the little comic, he looks up at her, and he says, so, Mommy, Christmas is Jesus' birthday? And she said, yeah, Christmas is Jesus' birthday. And he said, so it's Jesus' birthday, and I get all these presents? And she said, yeah. And he goes, oh, I love this religion. You know, for some people, their understanding of Christmas never gets any deeper than that. Their understanding of Christmas never gets any deeper than, well, it's Jesus' birthday, but we give out presents because, well, Jesus was a present. And there's lots of people that say that. Well, why do we give presents? Well, we give presents because, well, the wise men gave gifts. Well, God gave us Jesus, and it's Jesus' birthday, and the wise men gave gifts, and we give gifts, and, hey, it's Jesus' birthday. Let's put a tree up. I mean, we just have all these, but sometimes we just never get any deeper than that, and it's a shame. What I do want you to know is there's all kinds of verses in the Bible that pertain to Christmas that you wouldn't even think about. That you wouldn't think about, well, this is a Christmas verse, because sometimes they're just in the middle of a passage. But when it's talking about Christ and what he's done for us, a lot of it lends itself to Christmas. So the verse I've picked for today is in 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And to me, this is a Christmas verse. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for that passage. I thank you for what it really means today to us in our lives. And I pray, Father, that you would teach us this lesson. In your name I pray. Amen. I don't know if you really caught that, but what that said was Jesus was rich. He was living in the glory of heaven. But he came down and became poor so that you could be rich. That's how that is a Christmas verse. Because that is the story of Christmas. That's the meaning of Christmas. Christmas leads to the cross, which leads to Easter, which leads to the resurrection. Another holiday we've really messed up, by the way. But it all leads to that. The fact that Jesus left heaven to come to this terrible place to save us from our terrible sins. That's the point of Christmas. One of the saddest things about all of this is there's no story more amazing than that. You can't find a story better than the fact that Jesus, who is God, left heaven to live on earth and die for our sins, placed in a tomb for 3 days, was raised from the dead, and ascended to heaven, and will come again. There's no better story than that. But at some point, somebody decided that we needed Santa Claus and Rudolph and Frosty. Are you kidding? We don't need another story. We need the real story. That's what we need at Christmas. If you're going to share these things, what you should be sharing is the true story of Christmas. You don't need those things. We don't need to tell people about those things. All we're doing is detracting from the real truth. I want you to know today that we as church people even sometimes get caught up in so many things that we miss out on the real, true purpose of Christmas. Even those of us who would say, well, preacher, I don't get caught up in all that stuff. I mean, maybe I did when my kids were little, or maybe, you know, it's fun to do those things, but I don't really get caught up in that. You know, even as church people, that at Christmas time, we can get caught up in Christmas caroling and decorating, and you want to make sure that everybody on your list has putting up nativity scenes, and we're making sure we say Merry Christmas and not Happy Holidays. You know, we get caught up in all these things, but sometimes we never really break the surface as to why it was Jesus' birthday or why it was so important that Jesus came and was born in that manger. The true celebration lies in the why Jesus came, why he was born into that family, and why he was laid in that manger. It's so much deeper than just Jesus was born. It's so much deeper than that. So go with me as we talk about a few of the basics of Christmas. The first thing you need to know as a basic of Christmas is really simple, is that we as man had a broken relationship with God. It goes all the way back to the first book of the Bible. God created man. He put them in a perfect garden. He had an exact plan of how he wanted things to go. And through sin, there was a broken relationship. And so the Bible teaches that there has to be a remedy for that. Right? We broke that relationship through our sin. And God tried to bring the people back to him. He tried to send them all kinds of prophets. He tried to speak the right message to them. But there was only one way that it could be fixed. There was only one way, and there had to be a punishment for our sin. There has to be. Without Jesus dying for our sins, each and every one of us would be destined to die in our sins and spend an eternity in hell. Every one of us. And so there is a broken relationship. There is one way to fix it, and that was through the death of Jesus Christ. Now, some people might think to themselves, okay, so you're telling me that there's sin, there's a broken relationship, and Jesus needed to die for our sins. Why didn't Jesus just take care of that in like one day? That's a legitimate question. You might think if all God needed to do was to send his son to die for us, couldn't Jesus just come as a grown man? Why are we doing this whole Christmas thing? Why was he born, you know, to a mom who couldn't find a room in the inn? She had to go spend the night in a barn and lay him in a feeding trough. And why all of that? Why didn't Jesus just poof, come out of nowhere, you know, preach a sermon on the mount, 25 minutes, people don't want to sit longer than that, preach a short sermon on the mount, right? He preaches a sermon, then he goes over and says, hey, I need you guys to kill me, and then 10 minutes later, you wake back up and you say, okay, did that, then he goes back to heaven. I mean, why couldn't he just do it? If that's all that is needed. Well, first of all, that's a good question. I'm glad you asked it. The point of this is, he could have done that, but God always has a better plan than us. That's the first thing we need to realize. So when we start asking questions about all these things, understand God does have it figured out. You know, there's a passage in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6 that says, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for us. So if that was just the right time, then his birth was just the right time. And all the things that he did was at just the right time. You'll find in the Bible when Jesus would talk to the people, they say, Jesus, why don't we do this? And they say, my time has not yet come. Well, why don't we do this? And they say, my time has not yet come. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing. So why was he born in a manger? Why did he have to grow up like he did and do all these things and then die? Because it was timed out perfectly according to God's plan. Jesus came as a child, lived his life on this lowly earth because you and I needed an example to follow. That's why. Because we needed an example to follow and we needed somebody who understood us. There's the old story, and I've probably told it to you maybe even more than once, but it's the old story of the man who wouldn't go to church with his wife, and he would never go. And on this special Christmas Eve service, she said, would you please just go to church with me tonight? And he said, honey, I don't even think you should go. There's a snowstorm coming in, and I wish you would stay home. And she said, I've never missed a Christmas Eve service. I'm going. So be careful. And she leaves and goes to church, and he sits by the window. He didn't want to go to church with her, but he loved his wife, and he was worried about her while she was gone. So he sat out by the window, and he watched the snow start to fall. And the more the snow started to fall, the more he started to worry about her being gone at church. And then he realized that a bunch of ducks had flown down, and they landed right outside his window on the farm. And as the snow came down harder, he thought, these ducks are going to freeze to death. They act like they don't have any idea what to do. And he thought, well, I'll just let them in my barn. So he goes over and he opens the barn door and huddles up, runs back in the house, and he watches out the window and he goes, they're not going in the barn. What are they doing? He goes, like, there's a door. So he went out and he tried to shoo them, but every time he got close to them, they all just flew away. He'd go in the house and they'd come right back down right in the same spot in the lawn. He goes, I don't have any idea how to get these ducks to go in the barn. And I thought, yes, I do. So he goes out in the barn where his ducks were already smart enough to go and hide. Took one of his ducks and threw it out in the yard in the middle of all the other ducks and went in the house. Well, his duck immediately said, I'm going back to the barn. And when his duck went for the barn, every other duck looked and said, well, I'm going with this duck. And they all went in the barn. And it started to dawn on him. Well, that's what God did. We couldn't figure anything out, and he took his son and put him right in the middle of us. And he said, here, I'll give you somebody you can follow. I'll give you somebody you can understand. You're not listening to anything I'm saying. Every time I get close, you're scared, you run away, you don't listen. So I'm going to give you my son. Follow him. So you want to know why Jesus didn't show up one day and just magically make everything better? Because we needed him. Because we needed him to be born in that manger. We needed him to grow up. We needed him to live a life that we could follow. And that's exactly what took place. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, it says, we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Jesus didn't just come to take our place in his death. He took our place as a person. He took our place and lived a life to say, I'm going to go through what you go through. If you've faced it, I've faced it. I know what it's like to lose people that I love. I know what it's like to be sick, to be tempted. I've gone through these things. When the Holy Spirit placed Jesus in Mary's womb, that is when the earthly life of Jesus began. He went through childhood. He went through the teenage years. He faced everything in life that you did. So you have to know this. When you struggle, when you face temptation, when you lose someone you love, when you face illness, when you face pain, when you pray to God, he gets it. He knows. He's done the same things. He's been there. He's gone through all the things you've gone through. How many times have you picked up your phone and called somebody purposely because they've gone through what you're going through and you wanted to talk to somebody who understood? How many times have you gone to somebody and said, I need some advice. I know you've gone through this before. Hey, I've got some paperwork I've got to do. Didn't you do this last week? Can you help me with this? Hey, didn't you take this class? Can you help me with this? I can't. We do it all the time. And Jesus said, I'm going to go through everything you've gone through. I'm going to face the same world that you face so that you can come to me. And I can look at you and say, I understand what you're going through. And what he wants you to know is you can do it. And you can do it without sinning. That's what Christmas is all about. We each have opportunities all Christmas season to point people in the right direction. But you can't just leave Jesus in the manger. You can't just leave Jesus in the manger. His work wasn't done in the manger. That's where it started. I've told you this before, and I know that I have, but I think of it every Christmas season. But in my studies and years ago, as I was reading and studying, I found a place where they said that Adolf Hitler one day made the comment that someone should have killed Jesus while he was still in the manger. It's a terrible statement. But if you think about it, just let it ruminate. Think about it. Let it ruminate there in your mind. He makes the point for us. What he was saying is, Jesus in the manger doesn't bother me if he dies there. Jesus in the manger doesn't scare anybody. He's just a baby. And so all we do at Christmas time, when we only celebrate Jesus in the manger, is help him out. We help the world out. Because Jesus in the manger doesn't scare anybody. It doesn't bring truth to anybody. It doesn't force anybody to really think about why Jesus was in the manger or why he came and did the things that he did. It's just a baby in a manger. And so Adolf Hitler said, well, if they just killed him off then, we'd have been fine. Well, he doesn't have to if we leave him there. If that's the way we look at him, if that's the way we celebrate him, then we're the problem. Then we've done the job for him. If ever Christmas, say, oh, it was Jesus' birthday, let's just give each other presents and go on our merry way. That's just leaving him in the manger, and I'll stand by that. You might disagree with me, but I'll stand by that statement. The way that we celebrate and live out Christmas in many ways just leaves Jesus in the manger. Just leaves him there. If we are to celebrate Christmas the way that we should, then we should teach and celebrate that Jesus, this baby that was born and laid in a manger in Bethlehem, he grew to be a man that lived as a perfect example for us and how we should live. And that man died as a sacrifice for our sins. He was raised again 3 days later that we might have life. That's the celebration of Christmas. That's really what it is. We can't just celebrate Jesus being laid in a little feed trough. It's a neat little story, but man, you're just telling me the beginning. It'd be like me saying, once upon a time, there were three bears and they had porridge. And you'd say, yeah, so? I said, well, that's the story. Isn't that neat? Like, no, that's not neat. What's the story? Bears, they had porridge. It's the point. When you'd say, well, Christmas is Jesus' birthday, and everybody goes, well, what's the point of Jesus' birthday if it's just, we don't even do that for each other. If my child has a birthday, we don't just celebrate because that's the day they were born. You're celebrating their life, right? When you go to visit someone and you say, this is your 90th birthday, you're not just saying, wow, today is a really special day because you were born. No, we're celebrating all the things you did during those 90 years. We're celebrating all the lives you've impacted. We're celebrating your life. But at Christmas, we boil it down to Jesus was born and put in a barn. Here's a present. Do you understand? We just leave it at that. When people ask, what's the true meaning of Christmas? We have kids, and I've done it with my own kids. When you say, what's the real meaning? They say, oh, it's Jesus' birthday. And that's, well, that's not really it. The real meaning of Christmas is that Jesus was born so that one day he could die for our sins and be raised again. If you want to add all that in there, we celebrate Jesus because it was Jesus' birthday. And Jesus is the man who lived as our example and died on our behalf and was raised again. And also, that's why we celebrate Easter. Tie them all in there. It's fine. But don't leave Jesus in the manger. That verse today is telling a story all in all its own. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, when it says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, that through his poverty you could become rich. That's the story of Christmas. It really is. That Jesus left all the glory of heaven to come to this place. You know, the greatest gift of any Christmas was God's gift to us. Right? And I know we teach that a lot at Christmas. But the reason it's the greatest gift is because it delivered us from sin. It delivered us from so many things that you don't have to face. It's the greatest gift because it teaches every single one of us how we're supposed to live. And it also teaches us that you can do it with his help. You don't have to live in sin. Jesus showed us how to live in the same world and not fall into the trap that everybody else did. We need that example. The second greatest gift that could ever be given is you giving your life to Christ in return. The greatest gift is God giving his son for you. The next best thing to do is for you to give yourself to God. And that's what I want you to know about Christmas. It's very basic. I can't get any more basic than that. But when you talk about Christmas, you can't just leave Jesus in the manger. Do you know how much fun the devil has at Christmas time? Do you know how much fun he has when everything that we do takes away from the fact that Jesus came to die for our sins? When he gets us, even as church people, to do all kinds of things that detract from the fact that Jesus was sent to die for our sins. And so that's what I want to encourage you to do during this Christmas season. Do whatever you can. Celebrate Christmas. Have fun. Give gifts. We'll give gifts. But don't lose track of the fact that the reason we celebrate Christmas is that Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that in his poverty, you might be rich. And that only comes through knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and one day spend an eternity with him in heaven. Those are the Christmas basics. And if you're in on the deal, you know the basics, and you pick the right time. But make sure you share that with people. And when you celebrate Christmas, celebrate the entire life of Christ, not just his